Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families who have lost loved ones, that have loved ones injured due to the shootings in New York and Las Vegas, stabbings in the Walmart in Traverse, Michigan, number of people injured there, a mob beating a couple there in Cincinnati, and on, I guess I could go as of Tuesday as I record this sermon. It's disappointing, of course, for this kind of news, and it's almost on a daily basis of these kind of tragedies. And so we think about, how can I make a difference? Well, one way is to be a Christian that is truly following Christ, and thus salt, the salt that gives flavor to life, and of course preserves. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be a light that's shining forth from a hill, not under the basket, reflecting the light of Christ, the capital S-O-N. Yes, we're to be a good influence in this world. So the question for today is, how are Christians to be different? Last Lord's Day, we studied about, do I really believe? Not just believe in God, but really believe God. I need to be following His Word. And then I can make a difference. And we hope all these families that we're praying for will turn to God and seek His will in their life. This will make a change in this world. Of course it will. Now, we'll study from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through chapter 7, verse 1 in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And if we'll remember the initials PFE, that will help us to do just that every day. What's more important than preparing for our eternal destiny? There's not anything more important than that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as of course we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, having a proper attitude, but also following God's pattern given to us in the New Testament, following John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Now, something else to mention. If you would like to study the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities and we'll set it up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study this morning. How are Christians to be different? And before we go to our text, let me mention the Church of Christ at Corinth had many problems. We can see this in 1 Corinthians as Paul, by inspiration, sent them this letter dealing with division, condoning the immorality. They were going to law against one another. There was temptation to indulge in the lust of the flesh. Questions regarding marriage and the eating of meats offered to idols. Women abusing their liberty in Christ, and abuses of the Lord's Supper, abuses of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit in the first century, and denial of the bodily resurrection. Now, this is chapters 1 through 15 of 1 Corinthians. And as you know, the history of Corinth, going back to the first century, it was known for its immorality. The temple of Aphrodite, the Greek's goddess of love, Venus. Yes, and this temple was served by over 8,000 prostitutes. Now, what about our cities today? There's a lot of immorality as well, is there not? Well, we need to mention Paul rejoiced over the repentance of some of the Corinthians and encouraged them to remain faithful. As we're going to now go to 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, let's ask ourselves, how many people who we work around or live near know that we are a Christian? Well, if we haven't obeyed the gospel, we're not a Christian. But if we are a Christian, people are to know that by the way we live, not just by word of mouth. Do people notice that we're different than the rest of the world? That's our study this morning. How are Christians to be different? As we can see in the text, that's certainly the case. You know, there's a lot of parents nowadays that want their children not to be different like they don't want them any different than the other children. And so when the other children are involved in improper behavior, what happens to their own children? They don't want them to be different. They're going to be involved in improper behavior. Some today in the church want to have one foot in the world, but keep that one foot in the church. That's not going to work out. There's a great need to realize that as Christians, we must be different. So, in verses 14 through 16 that we just read, does right and wrong mix? Can righteousness have fellowship with unrighteousness? Well, that's the question that Paul, by inspiration, asked. And the answer clearly is no. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death, 1 John 5:17. And you can study Romans 1:29 through 32 and see the sins that were committed in the first century are the same ones being committed today. So we are either living righteous or unrighteous lives. It's one or the other. And we're all above the age of accountability. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, thus we need salvation. And then live righteous the rest of our life. Now, verse 14, what communion hath light with darkness? Can you mix them together? No. If you have a dark room and you open the door and let in the light, it's no longer dark. You're not going to have the two existing together, is the point. To follow Christ is to be called out of the darkness, to walk in His marvelous light. John 8:12, let's notice. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To come out of the darkness is to get out of sin. And to come into the marvelous light of Christ is to obey the gospel of Christ. To have the light of life. Not staying in our sins? Of course not. So we're either walking in the light as he is in the light, or we're walking in darkness. It's one or the other. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we're not contacting the blood of Christ, we're not receiving forgiveness. So we must walk in the light as he is in the light to continuing to be cleansed. If we've obeyed the gospel, we need to stay in the light to have that cleansing. Now, verse 15, can Christ and Satan be in agreement? Well, of course not. Satan's the father of lies, John 8:44. He's our adversary. He wants people to rebel against God like he did. He thinks he can defeat God. And how in the world would anyone want to follow the prince of darkness, who wants to take us away from the light, take us away from Christ? Now, we're either following Christ or we're following Satan. In Matthew 6:24 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus stated, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We better be loving the Lord. We better be holding to the Lord and his doctrine, his truth. Now, verse 15 again, can believers and infidels be in agreement spiritually? Well, of course not. And we're not to take ourselves out of the world. We can't do that. We're not to separate ourselves and live in a monastery and go through all the rituals they do. That's not what God would have us to do. We need to be an influence in the world, but not let the world come into us, just like the ship is in the water. But you don't want the water to come into the ship, do you? So we need to be the influencers in the world with our neighbors and co-workers, classmates, and so forth. Yes, we need to be around them on occasions and be friendly. But who do we prefer to be around the most? Those outside the body of Christ or those in the body of Christ? So we cannot be in agreement spiritually with those who are unbelievers. Of course not. Those who are in false doctrine, following false teachers. Notice John, 2 John 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. We don't want to help people as they're teaching false doctrine to continue to do so and bid them Godspeed. Certainly not. One cannot reject the doctrine of Christ and have salvation. That's not possible. And we need to defend the truth if we have it. Never turn it loose, buy the truth and sell it not. So let's appreciate what the inspired Apostle Paul is writing to the Church of Christ in Corinth. Now, we either receive or reject God's word. Which is it? In Acts 2:41, the day the church began, than they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day that were, and notice, in the same day, they were added unto them, that is, those that were baptized under John's baptism, automatically in the church, about 3,000 souls. You see, baptism, before the day of Pentecost, you had John, the immerser, preaching baptism for the remission of sins, and the kingdom is at hand. Excuse me. So he was teaching properly, being the forerunner to Christ. And then these that heard the word on the day of Pentecost that had not been baptized by John, they received his word gladly. And of course, after the cross, John's baptism is no longer valid. And thus, we need to understand the one baptism of today is the baptism of the Great Commission. Now notice verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Can the temple of God compromise with idols? No, of course not. God is a jealous God and will not come behind anything in our lives, period. Study Deuteronomy 4:24, chapter 5, verse 7. We either put God first or we have an idol. That's right. It's one or the other. Again, Matthew 6:24, we quoted earlier. That applies. In verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do we believe that? We better be putting the kingdom of God first. That's the church of Christ. His church, his body, the true church of the Bible. Now, why should Christians be different? Verses 17 and 18 answer that. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Do we want to be received by God? Notice verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. To please God, we must be different than the world. We are to be holy because God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God will not receive us unless we are holy. Yes. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's plain as day. Everybody should see that. No man shall see the Lord without what? Without holiness. Romans 12:1-2. We ought to know this passage. I beseech you, Paul by inspiration, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not dead like the animals, but living, holy. Did we catch that? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be sons of God, we must be different than the world. Verse 18. Notice that. To be sons and daughters, to have God the Father as looking over us, and part of his family, we must be different than the world. One cannot inherit eternal life unless he is an heir of God. Look at Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Going back to Genesis 12:3. In Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now that's something to hold on to. What a blessing it is to be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. That's right. Now let's get to the crux of the matter. How are Christians to be different? Going to 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, as Paul had written about earlier. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves, that's right, from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's one way to be different. Now, how can one cleanse himself? Well, it must be done in accordance to God's word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It's asked in Psalm 119:9. Notice the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In the New Testament, 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls, that would be cleansing, wouldn't it? Purifying your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Yes, the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, the truth. And that's how we purify our souls in obedience to the gospel. Now, in Luke 11:39, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness? We've got to be clean on the inside as well as the outside. Yes, and we know that baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's how we're cleansing ourselves from sin, by contacting the precious blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism. Now, how are Christians to be different? Well, we need to be different in speech. Are we taking God's name in vain? Using euphemisms, as so many do? Using God's name in a flippant way? Cursing? Telling ugly jokes? Filthy stories and all of that? Well, that's not being different than the world, is it? What about our dress? Do we dress modestly or immodestly? As so many are involved in mixed swimming, just about completely undressed, thinking that's okay because you're swimming? No. The swimming can be done without being together with the opposite sex, you see. Have the boys and girls go at different times at the youth camp. That's right. Still can swim, just not together. It's not difficult to keep in mind what God has set forth. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and here it is, to keep himself unspotted from the world. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That applies to men too. with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. When we see it, leave it. Get away from it. Can we be a Christian and talk filthy, dress immodestly, and be like the world? Well, what do you think? Look what Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's things we're going to have to give up, folks, to follow Christ. What would Jesus do if he was living on the earth today? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8 answers that question. He'd do the same thing today that he did in the first century and say the same things. Another way to be different than the world is to be complete, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, verse 1 of chapter 7. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5:48. Not sinless perfect, but what? Mature, complete in the faith. We cannot be sinless as Christ, but we can be complete, mature in the faith. Study Ephesians 4:12-13. Have the mind of Christ, all of us. Philippians 2:5. We can be a difference in this world, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Philippians 2:15-16. That applies to today, doesn't it? Of course. So, as Christians, we are to be different than the world because we have been bought with a price, and therefore we should glorify God in our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:20. If we are not different than the world, could it be because we are not truly converted to Christ? Are we Christ-like or worldly? All of us need to answer that. One must obey the gospel of Christ to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. We stand ready to assist anyone that's of the age of accountability and obedience to God's word, the precious gospel of Christ. So we must hear the truth. That's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17. We're to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. John 8:24. Having believed, now we're motivated to repent, to get out of a sinful life, and now we're ready to do the will of God. Acts 2:38, Luke 13:3-5. Now, having turned our will over to God, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32-33. This is stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others. Now we're ready to be immersed. Here's where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21, as we discussed earlier. Then we're added by the Lord himself to the body of Christ. We thank you so much for listening today.